Well, I can honestly say our next guest is probably asking himself, why the hell do I do this twice a week? For the first time, I had to answer a phone because Will called it. Will said this was going to happen. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet joins us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. You still there? Did I hang up on you? Are you still there?
I was surprised to hear your voice when I called in.
He's probably like, what? I called the wrong number? What's going on here?
No. Don't let Rob touch things. Nothing good can come of this.
Well, proof that you're not a diva. You'll do everything.
Oh, I'll do everything.
Come off.
But poorly. I'll do everything, but poorly. That's how it goes. Timing couldn't be better. We have a breaking trade in the National Hockey League, and it involves one of the players that you talked about not that long ago being available, UC Jokinen to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes, I saw Nick Kiprios there was reporting that it's straight up UC Jokinen for Mike Camilleri, which, you know, it's kind of an interesting deal. I mean, they're players at the similar stage of their career. They have almost matching contracts with Jokinen at $1.1 million. And Camilleri at one, and both didn't last long. If this is the deal in places that they signed this summer, so you know for Edmonton, I think it's pretty clear that they're looking for a little scoring help. Mm. Even at this age, Mike Camilleri still gets around the ice pretty well, and I guess basically trading one problem for another, so to speak, or clearly the guys weren't exactly what the organizations had hoped when they signed them in the summer to be getting dealt here 6 weeks into the season.
The numbers are a little bit stark in the sense that Camilleri at least has put up points, 7 points in his, I think, 15 games, and a couple of power play goals. And I can't help but think that that's might not be one of the areas that Todd McClellan doesn't try to employ him, is to try and, you know, keep the power play or get the power play going.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, he scored a ton of goals in the league over his career, and you know, it tends to be these guys that are hanging on, pretty deep on, even like a Thomas Vanek in Vancouver, that they can at least give you that element of still putting the puck in the net in those sort of scoring situations. So, you know, it does make some sense for the Oilers. And, you know, look, there's really not much risk here on either side. Yeah. I mean, if both guys could be sent to the minors and not be counted against the cap, and you know, they're both on expiring contracts. So, you know, I do think that there's the element of, you know, LA's depth being tested a little bit with the long-term injury that Jeff Carter's had and being out. And you know, in this case, the Oilers are just trying to get someone who can score a few goals other than Connor McDavid.
And it's kind of weird because it was only a couple of days ago I read an article about Camilleri, you know, in Los Angeles, kind of where it started. And he kind of felt that there was a symmetry to starting his career and maybe ending his career in Los Angeles. But he ends up with the Oilers on what has actually turned out to be somewhat of a busy day in November for transactions, because earlier today, Antti Niemi found a new home.
Yeah, that one was a surprise, too. I mean, if we were betting on these things, I would have guessed when Pittsburgh put him on waivers that might have signaled the end of his NHL career. But, you know, he had got a couple weeks there with Florida. And, you know, as it turns out, the Montreal Canadiens are dealing with a goaltending situation that's, I think, on a number of levels is quite intriguing at the moment. And you know, really feel as though they need to have a veteran there to start a game or two if they need. I mean, Charlie Lindgren's been really strong for them in his first stretch of games here as an NHL goaltender. But, you know, he's still a young player. And you know, let's face it, I mean, everything they're saying about Carey Price is that this isn't a long-term injury. You know, even today and having him and Mark Bergevin meet reporters, you know, it was stressed that he's still dealing with something minor. But, you know, it's kind of gone on a little bit longer, I think, than what we would have thought. Almost 2 weeks he's been out. Right. And with Al Montoya suffering a concussion over the weekend and knowing that those injuries are fairly unpredictable in terms of a timeline, I mean, they needed somebody. You know, we'll see if he actually has to play, because unfortunately for Antti Niemi, he's probably been the worst goalie in the league this year.
Yeah, and I guess that leads me to two things. Maybe the Niemi first, and I'll come back to Carey Price. Why does Niemi keep getting claimed? Because the numbers are there. I mean, but there has to be a reason. He's got to have some sort of positive reputation, does he not?
Well, I mean, he won a Stanley Cup, and you know, even though that was in 2010, I think people have long memories, and especially in this case, Stefan Waite, being the goalie coach in Montreal, was his goalie coach with the Chicago Blackhawks mm-hmm. when they won that cup. Mm-hmm. Mark Bergevin had a role in the front office at that time, and you know, maybe they feel that getting someone that they know. I mean, we see this not just in hockey, but in sports. I mean,
right.
seems that that managers, whether it's people they work with or players they keep acquiring when they move around, that the trust level, you know, can be a factor in these type of moves. And, you know, I would think specifically with Stefan Waite that, you know, he probably feels that there's some things that perhaps he can teach that at least, you know, gets Antti Niemi back to being, you know, a capable starter for a game here or there. Because, you know, this year the numbers are really bad. He's only played 5 games between the Penguins and Panthers. But you know, if you look back to the couple of years before it, I mean, he's been trending in the wrong direction for a number of years, which is why the Dallas Stars bought him out at the end of last season. And you know, I think in sort of the same way as Kamari Jokinen, I mean, he's only making $700,000. So, you know, it's a pretty low risk buy at this point. And in this case, they got him on waivers and didn't have to give up anything for him. And you know, it's a bit of a, I guess, a flip of the dice here to see if maybe he can get them, you know, a game or two if he has to play.
Carey Price, you talked a little bit about, you know, there's a lot of nerves in Montreal, and not unlike the conversation we had last week about Austin Matthews. 2 years ago, Carey Price had that horrific season with injuries. Is that what everybody, it's clearly what everybody's nervous about, right?
Well, and I think with good reason. I mean, the goaltending position, especially dealing with any injuries to the joints, you know, the knees, you know, it can be very tricky in terms of you know, recovering from that. There's just no way around the fact that these guys contort their bodies, and if they're not feeling right, that they can't do that to do their job. I think even more than skaters, and you know, just probably the eerie symmetry to the way both situations have sort of overlapped so far. Where, you know, certainly 2 years ago, no one expected him to end up missing basically the entire season after the first month or month and a half. And, you know, it's a similar time of the year, and he's injured, and they keep saying it's minor, but, you know, the facts are the facts. And, you know, he was skating a couple days, and today he said that he didn't go out, and he's not going to go out for the next few to rest his body. And, you know, I just think that there's some parallels there. I mean, you know, the other facts, I guess, that you know, that we know about are that the Montreal Canadiens insist it's not the exact same injury he had before. So you would think that signals good things. And, you know, they are being a little bit more, you know, part of what didn't work for them 2 years ago is they refused to even address it. And it led to all kinds of speculation. It was a total distraction for the team. I think what we're seeing now is they're trying to be more forthcoming with information and having Carey Price speak and Mark Bergevin speak. But, you know, until he's playing, you know, there's going to be some level of concern there. I mean, thankfully, Lindgren's filled in and won some games because, you know, if he struggled in a role where certainly I don't think the Habs expected him to be playing a stretch of games for them this season, then it would be an entirely different conversation. But, you know, that situation is going to continue to bubble until we get an indication either that maybe it's more serious or that Carey's ready to play.
Mentioned that there's been a kind of a handful of transactions today, and Antti Niemi got claimed on waivers, but the guy he faced in that 2010 Stanley Cup final for Philadelphia, Michael Layton, got traded in a swap of goaltenders as Louis Domingue leaves Arizona and goes to Tampa, and Layton comes over to Arizona. Now, we should mention all of these players are in the American Hockey League, so it's an AHL deal, but John Chyka has now blown out his goaltending from the last couple of seasons in Arizona.
Well, it's really what's got them off to this terrible start they're at, and I forget their record, but I believe they've won 2 games so far this season. And you know, they've actually played better if you watch some of their games than that record would suggest. I mean, I don't think they'd be a playoff team, but they can't get a save, and you know, they've missed Mike Smith, frankly. You know, not having him there this year because Antti Raanta was supposed to be the solution, and you know, he's missed most of the year now with injury. He's back healthy, and they're hoping there's something there in terms of his play and being able to handle the number one job. But, you know, Louis Domingue did not fare very well in his starts. And, you know, I think the way I view that trade is that's as much moving on from him. You know, from the side of the Lightning, you know, I think that's an AHL deal for them. They're hoping he's going to be a high-level starter for them at Syracuse, just with their goaltending picture right now. And you know, they also get Ty McGinn in that deal. Does Arizona – you know, has played some games for them a couple years ago, and you know, it was a little bit more depth for them. But, you know, kind of a strange situation because, you know, Arizona really does need some goaltending to compete. And you know, only winning 2 of your first 19 games is no way to start a season. And, you know, basically their hopes are gone before they even got off the ground because they couldn't get enough saves early on.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, senior hockey writer and our NHL insider, joins us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Want to leave the transactions of today. Do you care to add an opinion or offer something on Sidney Crosby, who, here we are, not unlike Carey Price from 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it was about this time where we were all wondering if Crosby was done, and he roared back. But another slow start, and it's gotten people's attention here this week.
Well, you know, when you go as many games, he had 11 games without a goal. I mean, that's going to stand out at any point in his career, even as he gets older. You know, I still just point to how many games that he's played and that team has played the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we all know the juices in November are pretty different than what they've had in April, May, and June. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of malaise or whatever you kind of, you know, a hangover, whatever you want to call that to the start of the season they've had. You know, I do know that Sidney feels as though he's getting the chances he needs and that it will turn. And I would say, given the pretty long stretch of history we have with this guy, that there's not a lot of reason to doubt him. But, you know, it's interesting that he's, you know, run up against this because the last time he did it, he ended up scoring over a point a game for the second half of the season and, you know, tearing things up in the playoffs and winning the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I don't think it's at I don't sense, you know, I saw Jim Rutherford last night at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I think everybody there is understanding in the big picture about where they're at. I mean, they're mindful. They don't want to excuse too many bad habits or bad play. But, you know, I don't think there's that big a level of concern internally about Sidney Crosby at this point. And he's playing Buffalo tonight. So that's a team I think historically scored the most points against. So wouldn't be surprised as we're talking right now if he's not ending that goal streak and moving on and being more like the guy we expect.
I want to finish off with a couple of Toronto-based events that you just mentioned you were at one. Tell me about your Hall of Fame experience, your Hall of Fame weekend, what you picked up and what you liked about this year's class.
Well, it's such a cool event. I mean, it's literally the same thing every year, except obviously a different group of inductees. But, you know, it's almost like a family event you might have annually with your family, where it's often where I see certain people in hockey world. I only see them once a year, you know, around this weekend and specifically last night at the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony itself. And you know, it was a pretty interesting class. I mean, Paul Kariya and Teemu Selanne kind of stole the show in a sense, just because they're such good friends. And you could just tell they were having the time of their lives this weekend. I think it's unique to have two teammates go in together, you know, two guys that a lot of their brightest moments were when they were line mates and two of the best players in the league. And, you know, it was just kind of a really fun weekend, you know, for Teemu especially. Mm-hmm. He was always a little bit of an entertainer in addition to being a great hockey player. And, you know, it was a good class and a good night last night. I got the sense that a few people had to go home to dry out maybe afterwards, because I think that they were having a lot of fun in front of the cameras and at night too. And, you know, that's a neat part of it, because, you know, a lot of GMs come in or former teammates, family members, all that. I mean, it's almost like having another wedding or something to celebrate, you know, a great career.
I know this is difficult for people in Toronto to believe, but Brian Burke just kind of flies under the radar here in Calgary. And I had no idea until this week and I knew there was a conference in Toronto, and it happened again, another, I think they call it the Primetime Sports Conference, and Brian Burke is the host and has been, originated 10 years ago. I know Gary Bettman spoke, I believe Rennie Fasel spoke, a lot going on. Anything that had come out over the last couple of days that surprised you from that event?
Well, that's one of my other favorite things of this weekend, because when you go to that conference, it's, you know, it's not really a media event. I mean, they allow media members to attend, but, you know, it's a lot of aspiring people in the sports world, the younger people, students, you know, trying to network and, you know, people from different sports teams. And so those conversations tend to be quite candid, certainly much more than we'd be accustomed in the kind of setting we have journalistically. So, you know, I don't know that Gary Bettman ever really opens up. I mean, I think he's aware that anything he says doesn't matter the context is going to be, you know, potentially publicly revealed. So he was pretty normal, but, you know, we had some, you know, Rene Fasel frankly took some shots at the NHL and Gary Bettman.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, kind of likened their relationship to a longtime marriage that they, you know, kind of old married couple that I guess can't entirely get along, but they're stuck together because of their positions and the fact that the NHL and the IHF still have to do business and still have to, you know, have agreements on a number of issues in the hockey world. And you know, that was pretty cool. And, you know, Brian, you know, has always made some headlines by, he knows how to stir it up. I mean, look, I think he has a financial stake in that conference. And when he goes on the radio and says the difference between reporters in Toronto and Calgary is there's more people in Toronto cheering for the teams to lose, I think he knows that that's going to get a reaction in the media and get people talking about his conference. And, you know, he probably made the biggest headlines as usual. And you know, he's got a knack for doing that here when the times now he does come and speak in Toronto.
You mentioned Fussell, and I'll leave you with this one. He went out of one of the report articles that I read. He went out of his way to suggest that he bugs Gary Bettman all the time, that Rennie looks after the game and Gary looks after the business. And I know that would just drive Bettman nuts.
Well, especially when he's saying it publicly. I mean, certainly in the boardroom, he wouldn't like hearing it. But when he's, you know, taking that to the media, I think would irk the commissioner. I mean, and look, Rene Fussell makes a lot of money, and I covered a number of those world championships. They're all about making money, and there's been allegations in the past. I don't know if they're ever proven that he was skimming off the top of some of that stuff. So, I mean, I don't think we should let him skate entirely on that quote. But, you know, I do believe in a sense that you know, his position all along was that the league should be at the Olympics, and that, you know, almost any hurdle was not too big because of what it represents and what it means for the sport. And I do believe that he feels that way. You know, he's dealing with another crisis, and I realize it takes on a different perspective at the moment because NHL players aren't involved. But, you know, I had a chance to pull him aside last night, and you know, he shares the belief of some others that I reported a few weeks ago that it's very possible that the Russian hockey team might be not allowed to attend this Olympics because of what's going on in other sports. And, you know, he said that's very much an ongoing thing. He doesn't know what they'll do if you know, the whole team is banned, if maybe all Russian athletes are banned from Pyeongchang. But, you know, that's a bigger sort of wider sports story that is probably his biggest concern right now, just with those Olympics being so close to where we're standing and that still hanging in the air.
One might refer to that as a bit of a ticking time bomb.
Yes. Big time. And you know, I don't, who knows what the Olympic tournament will look like with that. I mean, the KHL has made overtures that they're not going to release the players if the Russians don't go. I mean, this could go down really as one of the weirder international events, and the fact it's being played on the stage it is with under the rings, you know, it's, I'm sure Hockey Canada is worried about it too, just because, you know, they're going through a selection process and a lot of the guys are looking at playing the KHL.
Good stuff, my friend. I appreciate it. Kind of interesting that we get some trades here in November, all of them a little bit minor, but Mike Camilleri around here, obviously two stints with the Flames, and he's still rather popular. Appreciate this, Chris. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks, man. See ya.
Chris Johnston, senior hockey writer, RNHL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Create a masterpiece with flame-grilled Angus beef, 30 toppings and 4 types of cheese. New location at Market Mall Food Court, southstreetburger.com.